Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am a sucker for insurance. I stay away from insurance people because I like the idea of a guarantee. I love that. I like the feeling of assurance that things won't be stripped away from me without any kind of a backup or help. When I think of a guarantee, I sometimes picture it like a seal on a document from ancient times. When someone wanted to be sure that what they sent in a letter was guaranteed to reach the other person unaltered in any way, they would seal the letter with a wax seal and their own signet ring or their own mark. That was the guarantee. That was the guarantee of security that the message would arrive as designed. And that's what we have in the words of Paul that we read from Corinthians tonight. Those words are what Christ used to seal and guarantee that we would truly receive his body and blood in the Holy Supper. His death on the cross, stripped of all earthly dignity, is a guarantee not only of our salvation here and now, but the promise that heaven also would be ours. And that comes from the words, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Until he comes. It is the work of the Lord's death that seals and guarantees his words of promise to be present in Holy Communion and to return to earth again in glory and power. The work he did of dying on the cross was so that he could deliver in full the promise of salvation, redemption, and restoration with God. God the Father in heaven, for all who believe in him. His death seals that to us. And by his Holy Spirit, given to us by faith and through our baptism, we've been marked with his signet ring, the cross. He has made us, you and I, each one of us, now the bearers of his message of reconciliation and hope. Again, we've been marked, how? By the cross of Christ in our baptism. And like the messages of old, sealed with a signet ring, we now bear the message of Christ to the world. We speak of his work of salvation on the cross. And that same cross upon which Jesus died is what we proclaim when we came to Holy Communion tonight. When the Lord gave his words of institution at the Last Supper, he was giving us the promise that he paid for with his when his life was stripped from him on the cross. We've had a few people pass away in our congregation in the past few years. All of them, in some form or fashion, left a last will and testament. Some were more formal than others, but all of them are important messages. However, they only took effect. That is, they only gained power to be enforced after the person died. It was by their deaths that their messages acquired the power that they wanted them to have. So also with Jesus. And the words he used to bequeath his promise to us. They also only took on their power through his death on the cross. After his death, his words now possess a power to deliver to us what he desired us to have. And that is his presence with us, now and forever. As we've come to the table tonight, we heard his words, instituting his holy meal. Those words have their power through the work of the cross on which he died tomorrow. Remember that as he gave these words, he was within hours of his death. He knew that. And so he spoke also the words that give this night its meaning. Maundy Thursday is understood to be so named because of the Latin word mandatum, from which we get the word mandate. It means command. The Lord, this night, before going to the cross, doing his work there of salvation, gives a new command, a new testament. And with his death, he puts into force these words. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That is his bequest to us, to love one another as he has loved us. And how has he loved us? By serving us, by going to the cross. And not only that, but he gave us a real world demonstration of what that new command to love one another looks like as he stripped himself of his outer clothing and took up the basin and towel to do the work of washing the feet of his beloved disciples. He stripped himself for the work of love. Now, the altar that we use represents Christ. And by stripping the altar of its usual adornments on this night, many things are symbolized. The abuse and scorn that our Lord endured. The stripping of Jesus by his captors, both of his clothing and of his dignity. It also reminds us of the abandonment by his disciples at his trials. Now, in earlier centuries, the altars on this night in some churches were washed with a bunch of hyssop dipped in wine and water. One fellow says that this was done to render them in some manner worthy of the Lamb without stain, and to recall to the minds of the faithful with how great purity they should receive Holy Communion. He adds that the ceremony was intended also as homage offered to Jesus in return for his humbly washing the feet of his disciples. When we strip the altar tonight, think of Jesus. Think of Jesus and how he laid aside his tunic and tied the towel around himself. As we said, he stripped himself for service, for love. And yet later, he was stripped again by others and made a mockery of before leading him away to die. Now, on Maundy Thursday, we discover that when everything else is taken away, something still remains. When all is lost and removed, yet there still remains for us the altar in all of its starkness, reminding us of what it means and what it meant for Jesus to lose everything in order to do the work his love required. He teaches us the art of losing. The art of losing. Jesus doesn't offer us a way to escape losing, but rather, he teaches us a better way to lose. To lose all for the sake of love. The bare altar reminds us that Jesus never lost who he was as the Son of God. That it is the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who is stripped of everything except love. It is his love that we see in the work of the cross. He forgives his torturers and killers from the very cross they lift him up on. And his death seals for them and for us and for all people the forgiveness that is his dying bequest to the world. Remember when he told Nicodemus those many years ago that the Son of Man must be lifted up and draw all men to himself? That's what he leaves the upper room tonight to do. When we leave here tonight, after having seen the altar stripped, we go knowing what will happen in the next few hours, when Jesus is again stripped by others who will put him to death. We go to endure the next 3 days of repentant sorrow, contemplating the terrible, horrible cost that was paid by the work of Jesus that he goes forward now to do for us. And, don't forget, we also go knowing that that is not the end. We have the assurance and hope of Jesus' resurrection to look forward to. When all else is stripped away from us, that powerful reality, that triumphant victory of Jesus over death, always remains with us. That, after all, is the joyous conclusion of Jesus' work of love. In the name of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen.